In my ministry, I have the opportunity and the privilege to go into many homes throughout our parish, be it for a birthday party or an anniversary party, maybe to take communion to one of the sick, someone who's ill, to visit them, even for a picnic or maybe just a nice, quiet dinner, maybe to watch a ball game, or to just play a game of cards or some sort of board game. And kind of my pattern in visiting someone's house for the first time is I'll always go to the front door first, knock or ring the doorbell, and whoever's invited me to their home will come and greet me there. And then typically I would say 9 times out of 10, they'll say, you know, Father, the next time you come, we never use the front door. If you would please go to the side door or the back door or maybe even just go through the garage door, it's always open. You know, doors are a part of our everyday life, aren't they? We come indoors and we go outdoors. You came in a door as you came into church tonight. We have doors to our bedrooms and our bathrooms, doors to our attics. We got garage doors, we got barn doors. We got shop doors. We got doors that lead into our offices, doors that go into our place of work. There's a door on our car. There's a door on our truck. There are doors on our tractors. We got doors that open to get into a bus or even a door on a train or a plane that we like to ride in. You know, doors keep us safe at night. Doors give us a sense of protection. And that same door that we can invite someone into our home, we can say, would you please leave now? You know, through the same door that you came into. I believe it was Alexander Graham Bell said this. Alexander Graham Bell said that if one door closes, another door opens. And Milton Berle said that if an opportunity is not there, build a door and create the opportunity yourself. You know, seeing the power of a door, it shouldn't be, you know, that far-fetched for us to believe that in the life and the ministry of Jesus and in the evangelists who wrote the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would always use the image of a door to help us in understanding what Jesus was all about. They even say, you know, that Jesus is the door, that he's the sheepfold, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that if we enter into him, we'll have eternal life. You know, we see it in this gospel as the disciples have locked themselves away behind a door. I can imagine that they even barricaded themselves there out of fear for the Jews. For they thought that the same thing that happened to Jesus, because they're his followers, could happen to them as well. That they too might be crucified for following after him. And so locked away behind that door, barricaded in there, full of anxiety and fear, Jesus miraculously comes through that door. And the first thing he said to them was what? Peace. Peace be with you. And then what he did was he showed them his hands and his side. Now, why did he do that? He wanted them to see, it's me. It's really Jesus. And upon seeing it was really Jesus, what did they do? They rejoiced. They rejoiced in the risen Lord. And then Jesus said to them again, peace. Peace be with you. And then he breathed on them. Now, this breath, catch this breath. This breath was the same breath that God breathed in the book of Genesis. It was the same breath that God breathed on the waters as they became teeming with life. The same breath that God breathed into Adam and brought him to life. So, if you can imagine, you know, as the disciples are locked away in this upper room together out of fear for the fact that they too might be killed, they were dead. They were absolutely dead in fear and in anxiety and worry. And so Jesus breathing on them, breathed new life into them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What Jesus gave them was the ability to go back out that door. He gave them a new way. He gave them a new door to go through. And as they were filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, they went out. They went out full of life, full of new creation, and they carried on in the work of Jesus. You know, doors are powerful. Doors are a part of everyday life. But doors are also a part of our faith. They're part of what we believe in with Jesus Christ. And that as Jesus Christ, we must follow this. That if Jesus Christ breathed on the disciples and gave them new life and helped them to leave behind their fear and worry and anxiety and recreated them, guess what Jesus can do for you and me? He can do the same. He can breathe new life into us. And whatever door that we might be behind, He can be that new door for us. He can even come through doors that are locked in our lives out of fear or worry, anxiety, and bring about new life. There's a great story, a true story told by a writer that when she was 29 years old, she was an addict. She was a single mom of a 3-year-old boy, and her husband abused and beat her. But one evening, she found herself in DTs, withdrawing from drugs. She was bound to determine, I'm not going to use. But as she's lying on her floor in her dirty apartment, she's got this little piece of paper that's got a phone number that her mother had given her in one of those rare occasions that she and her mom had visited together. And that phone number, she was kind of carrying back and forth between her fingers. It was the number of a counselor, a Christian counselor. And she was trying to get up the strength to pick up the phone and to dial that number. Well, finally she got the strength. She got the ability to pick up the phone and to call that Christian counselor. And as he answered the phone, she said, hello. She said, you know, I wonder if you can talk to me tonight. I'm having a really hard time. And he said, yes, 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 wait just a minute. And she heard in the background some papers rustling. She heard a radio click off, and then he came back to the phone. And he said, tell me, what's going on? What do you need? And she began to kind of tell him everything that was happening in her life. She told him how she was a single mother. She told him how she was abused. She told him how she was addicted and she was trying to get off of drugs and alcohol. She talked to him like she'd never talked to anyone before, and he listened like no one had ever listened before, present to her, kind to her, compassionate to her. She poured herself out to them. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, they talked from 2 a.m. until sunup. And finally, sunup comes. And as the sun rose, she realized that she was calm. She realized that she was peaceful. She realized that she was able to focus again. And as the conversation was wrapping up, you know, she said to him, you know, I know you're a Christian counselor. It's okay if you give me a Bible verse or something. And he just kind of laughed, and he said, oh, you're fine. And you're doing fine here. And she says, no. How long have you been a Christian counselor? And he kind of stopped. And he said, well, I need to tell you something. I need you to promise me you won't hang up the phone. And she says, well, what? She says, you've been great to me. And he said, please promise me you won't hang up the phone. And she said, what is it? And he said, you dialed the wrong number. I'm not a Christian counselor. And they talked for a little while longer. And she never called that number back. She never spoke to him again. She didn't even know what his name was. But through that conversation, she found new life. Through that conversation, she found the Holy Spirit of God. Through that conversation, she found that a new door had been opened for her. And she was able that night to put away drugs and abuse and all of that. She left her husband. She raised her child on her own. She went off and she got an education. She became a successful writer and a successful teacher. Her child became, as he grew up, he became an athlete. And he became a scholar who graduated from Princeton University. True story. You see, when we allow God into our life, when we allow Jesus into our life, he opens new doors for us. He gives us the ability to go into places that we never thought ever imaginable for us. And if we would just let Jesus come into us now, he'll open that door. And he'll breathe in us the fire of the Holy Spirit. This week, what I want to encourage us to do, if there is some door in your life that is shut, or there's some place in your life where you feel like you're closed off, ask Jesus to come through the door. Or just sit there and believe that he will come through that door and he will bring you new life. And then let Jesus breathe on you. Let that same breath and that same fire that came down upon the apostles at the first Pentecost, let it be that same fire that comes upon you and fills you with new life and gives you the power and the ability to know that you can pick up the phone. You can call somebody for help. You can reach out to a friend or a neighbor. You can kneel down and say a prayer and ask Jesus to come to you. You could write a prayer to God and believe that that prayer would be answered, whatever it might be. Just let Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do it. And he will. He will do it. He did it for that 29-year-old woman. He'll do it for us too. He'll bring us new life and the power of the Holy Spirit.